Good to have you all here today. It's good to be here and to enjoy the sunshine. I want to welcome all of our visitors here today. You may be seeing some things that you haven't seen before, but I promise you that all of these things are biblical. And as we're singing, we're not just singing to each other or singing just because we like the songs or whatever. We're singing out of our hearts with love to God. Our Father. Amen. Amen. We're singing songs to our Savior, Jesus, that gave himself and shed his blood so that we could be freed from our sin. Amen. Amen. I want to have our welcoming committee. If you are here for the very first time, would you please raise your hand? We have a gift for you, and we want to take care of that right now, please, our welcoming committee. Just hold your hands up until they get them to you, okay? We have a really special treat here today. This is one of my favorite things to do. And we get to dedicate a little one, to the kingdom of God this morning. And that's always kind of something special, isn't it? And we get to do that. And I'm always a little bit nervous at the same time because I don't know how the babies, the children are going to react to seeing my face. So we're going to have Rebecca Madden come on up, and she's going to bring her beautiful little girl, Cora Araceli, and we're going to dedicate her. She's going to bring the crew up with her. Come on up, you guys. You're welcome. Stand right over here. Is everybody ready for this? Look, we got the binky. We're all ready to go. Yeah. Come on up. Half the church is coming up over on this side over here. I'm liking this. Wow. We're so glad that you guys are here today with us. And we're so honored to be able to dedicate Cora. Wow. In the presence of the whole family here this morning. So,
you wanna hold it?
I will in just a moment. I want to first to make a few things known about baby dedications and to remind everyone that's here today that when we dedicate a child, that it's declaring three basic things, okay? And those things are, one, that children are precious to God. Yeah? Their lives are sacred because they are created in God's image. And they have the capacity of personality to relate to God. Isn't that awesome? And number two, in spite of the innocent beauty of this little one right here, we all recognize that one day, even this beautiful little one will sin. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But we all grow up, and when we sin, we need a Savior. We need a Savior, don't we? Yes, we do. She ain't gonna let go now. That's okay, I'll come to her. And thirdly, baby dedication declares that Jesus is that Savior. Amen. Yeah? Jesus invited the little children to come to him because he knew better than anyone else that they needed him too. You ever think about that? Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. All right? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Basically, that's saying all day long, all the time. Talk about the things of God all the time. This is the commandment of God, that we should diligently raise our children in our most holy faith. In obedience to this command, this mother brings her child today to present to the Lord. The precedent for this ceremony of baby dedication is found in Scripture, as in the presentation of Samuel by his mother Hannah. You remember that story? And of Jesus by Joseph and Mary. Paul reminded Timothy that from a child he had known the sacred Scriptures. Jesus considered the little ones precious. And he said in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place their hands on them. You see, even back then, people recognized the blessings of God. And they wanted those on their children. And that's why we're here today. Okay? And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. They said, don't keep bringing your babies to Jesus. Keep them away from him. He's got more important things to do. But Jesus says, no, don't do that. Jesus called the children to him and he said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it, Jesus said. The purpose of baby dedication is really to be found in the purpose of the parents. Do you believe that? Yeah, is that right? Yeah. rightly understood, the ceremony is one of parental dedication as well as child dedication. The parents are publicly pledging themselves to obey the command found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, and here it is, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, I will ask you a few questions, okay? And if you agree, then you can respond, I do, okay? So, do you recognize your child as a gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing?
I do.
You do, okay. Do you pledge as her parent that you will bring up this beautiful little one in the discipline and instruction of the Lord?
I do.
Okay. Do you dedicate your child to the Lord and give her to him?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you promise to provide your child with regular access to church and all of its benefits?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And last, do you ask God's blessing upon your child's life to guide, to guard, and direct your child through all her years?
Yes, I do.
You do. All right. And now comes the fun. Let's give this a shot. Let's give this a shot. Will she come to me? Hello. Yes. Oh, she's so beautiful. Look at you, so beautiful. She's so pretty. Look at this. I don't want to get too far away from Mama here. If you will help me out here, you take the top of that, take it right off. Thank you. All right. I anoint you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray for Cora today. We pray your holy blessings upon her. We pray your favor upon her, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would guide her, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, and that you would protect her. In Jesus' name. And may she live her life for you. May she come to know you as her Lord and her Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I have one question of the body of Christ and the body of believers that is here today. Now, this little one here is a member of the extended family of Bev Quackenbush and Denny and Kathy over there. And so will you as a body, though she lives in where, Texas? Texas. When she comes back to visit, will you make sure that she is raising this one according to the promise that she has made?
Yes. Okay.
All right. All right. There you go.
Thank you.
Yep. There's Mama. Very well. So take care. God bless you all. All right. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Special. We have, we got another couple ones coming up here. We got another one to do in a week or so. No, you're a little old for that, but we can baptize you. We've got another one coming up in a week or so here, I think. And then I think somebody in this area right here will be having one in a little while there, so. All right. Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. All you mamas out there, that's awesome. We're so glad to have you here today. And all of you mothers, did you all get a gift already this morning? If you didn't, hold up your hand. Going once, going twice. All right. All right. So on your way out, you must stop by that beautiful floral table in the back and pick up one of the small flowers. You're able to take that back with you. We didn't want to pass them out because the soil could spill on the floor and stuff, and you guys would be here a long time picking all that stuff up. So, so if you're a mama, take a flower as you leave, okay? One other thing, just some housekeeping things here. Other visitors, did every first-time visitor get a gift? If you did not, raise your hand. Okay, so we got one more gift over here. Josh needs a gift over here in the blue shirt. Josh, raise your hand for me once.
The blue.
All right, so we got our bases covered this morning. How about our Spanish brothers? Did you guys get a gift this morning? Un regalo? No? Sí? Okay. Okay. I have something that I thought was really fun, okay? Before we go any further, I have a video here that I want to share with you. So just take a moment and watch the video.
Last year, she amazed her family. But now,
Mom, my science project is due tomorrow.
Jeremy hates me.
When chaos strikes,
Mom, I want to play Xbox.
No, it's my turn.
Her true powers will be revealed.
Hey, honey, your mom said she's going to stop by later. Is that okay?
Quiet!
Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
Exactly.
I'm packing.
Natalie, what did you do? How did she know?
Gifted by God with the power to read minds.
I don't have any homework.
No.
I mean, I did all my homework.
No.
Well, I did some of it.
No.
Fine, I haven't started yet.
There's the truth.
The wisdom to restore peace.
She said, that's it. We're finished. So sick of this texting.
What?
Let me see that.
Wait, this says sick of this testing, not texting.
Oh, right. He was taking the ACT. Thanks, Mom.
The insight to see the future.
I forgot to think of a science project.
Yeah, I thought you might.
Yes!
With a burst of unlimited capacity. And her secret weapon, the look.
Ha ha ha.
His abilities combine to form the ultimate example of warmth, tenderness, and dignity.
What'd you think of that? Oh, boy, that's fun stuff, isn't it? Wow, it is so true, though. Moms need to be a little bit of everything, don't they? Oh, my goodness. And so, in honor of moms today, we have a few other things. I came across something recently that was like a job description for a mom, okay? So this would be something like you'd find online if you were looking for a job. Now, it's a bit lengthy, but I'm sure that you will relate at least to a few of these things, okay? Number one, this is a permanent job. Number two, the successful applicant must be prepared to work hard. Understood? Number three, the workplace is often challenging and a chaotic environment. Number four, applicants must possess excellent communication and organizational skills and be willing to put to work variable hours, which will include evenings, weekends, and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. All right. Number five, extensive chauffeuring duties as required, but your travel expenses will not usually be reimbursed. Some overnight travel will be required, including trips to camping sites on rainy weekends and countless sports tournaments in faraway places. Number seven, must be willing to be hated, and at least temporarily, until someone needs $5. Yeah. Number eight, must be willing to bite your tongue repeatedly. Number nine, must possess the physical stamina of a pack mule and be able to go from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat in case this time the screams from the backyard are genuine and not just one crying wolf. Number 10, must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck zippers. Number 11, must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, and coordinate production of multiple homework assignments. Number 12, must have the ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. Number 13, must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute, an embarrassment the next. All right. Number 14, health and safety. Must be able to handle the assembly and product safety testing of hundreds of toys and battery-operated devices. Number 15, attitude and demeanor. This should be good. Must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final, complete accountability for the quality of the end product. In other words, it's always mom's fault. Number 16, responsibilities also include floor maintenance, laundering, and janitorial work throughout the place of employment. Number 17, promotion prospects. This ought to be good. None. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Yeah. 18, previous experience, none required. because no other form of employment is totally relevant, but on-the-job, in-service training is offered on a continual, exhausting basis. Number 19, wages and bonuses. Yes, none. Job satisfaction is what you hopefully receive. Number 20, outlays. You pay every bill for your child at least until they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. When you die, by the way, you give them whatever's left. Number 21, benefits. While no health or dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, no bonuses are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for free hugs for life if you play your cards right. Lastly, tenure. The rest of your life. Obviously, there's some tongue-in-cheek going on here, yeah? You know, the word mother appears 42 times in the NIV Bible. 42 times. How about that? Obviously, we don't have time to get through all of them, but I'd like to at least get through 40 today. Nah, just kidding you. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. If you would turn there with me. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Do you know what this is? You oughta. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. We're in the Ten Commandments here, folks. Verse 12, we're about halfway through or so. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother so that you may live a long life. To live a long life, yeah? God blesses those who honor their father and mother. Okay? Now, mind you, I do not see a prerequisite in the scripture. Yeah, but my mom was the meanest blankety blank. My dad was a It doesn't matter. You are to honor them regardless. Sometimes that's hard, yeah? Sometimes that's hard. Okay? But it's God's will, and it's God's command, mind you. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. All right? But it comes with a blessing. All right? God knows that all of our parents aren't perfect, all right? Let's face it. We're not perfect parents. Okay? But if we honor our father and mother, God will bless us. All right? God will bless us, he says, with long life. All right? No suggestions, no other options. Okay? Look, check out Leviticus chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 20, verse 9. Listen to this. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. What? Put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. What? Boy, we've come a long way since these days, haven't we? Wow, that's like heavy stuff. Forgiveness, not an option here. Second chances, not an option here. That's harsh, wouldn't you say? Man, sometimes the Bible can be harsh. But usually when that's the case, it's something that means a lot to God the Father. Do you think that parenting, being a mother and a father, is important to God? You better believe it. You better believe it is. In Genesis chapter 2, if you're not familiar with Genesis, it might have been a while since you've been there. It's the first book in the Bible, the easiest to find other than Revelation, which is the last. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his mother, his father and mother, and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Okay? So as our children get older, the hope is that they will marry and then go on and have their own lives, right? So we raise them all the time, preparing them to go off on their own. As the mother eagle would train up her chicks and raise them and nurture them, and then at some point she pushes them off the cliff. Off they go. Down, down, down. Okay? But that's the intention the whole time. This doesn't mean that now that the kids won't ever come back or come back around, or that mom and dad won't be involved in their lives anymore, but it does mean that the children at some point will hopefully become independent, right? That's the whole thing here, all right? No matter how much a child loves their mother or their father, or how much their mother loves them, at some point it's normal and healthy for the children to grow up and move out. Okay? And that's usually a difficult time. It's difficult for mom and dad to let go of the kids, you know? And it's hard for the kids to get out on their own. And so there's a kind of a learning curve there, if you will. All right? And so you kind of work that out together. But the whole time there is much love. And God wants there to be that respect and honor to the moms and to the dads. Okay, Deuteronomy. Boy, we're hitting a lot of Old Testament scriptures here today. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of yours, ours, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of this town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Yikes. I remember reading a story back in high school. I think it was called The Lottery. Do you remember that story? Any of you read that story? It's like a short story, right? And every so often, this town would have to pull names out of a hat. I don't remember all the details, but they would pull a name out of this bucket or whatever, and whatever name was drawn was killed. And I can't even remember what the reason was for it. I mean, this is, you know, just a story, but I'm like, wow, you know, and here now these are laws of God. Why would God say these things? He's so harsh. Why is that? Because it's so important. God is setting a precedent of honor and respect for parents, mothers included in that, and fathers. All right? So children, respect your parents that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land that God has given you. Honor your father and your mother, all right? Because if you don't, God is going to punish you. And now I'm not talking just kids, okay? Because we kind of get that in our heads, well, I'm grown up now that I don't have to obey. That's not it. That's not it, okay? If you got a mom and dad, and I know you do, you must honor them and respect them. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know my... I get it. Okay? But we are to honor them. Why? Because it's important and it's right and God said it. Okay? But that comes with promise. That comes with promise. Can you see the importance that God puts on being a parent and also being a child and honoring your parents? He takes it very seriously. And this is why, now think about this, this commandment to honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land that God has given you. Listen, it repeats this word for word in Deuteronomy 5, Matthew 15, Mark 7, Luke 18, and Ephesians 6. Word for word. Isn't that interesting? Several different places in the Bible. Do you know that there was a few times when Jesus himself would have brought grief to his mother? Well, you say, whoa, hey, this is Jesus we're talking about here. He was sinless. How could he bring grief to his mother? Pastor, you're mistaken. You're not reading the Bible correctly. But hold on a minute. I'm not talking that he dishonored his parents. I'm not talking that he disrespected them. I'm saying that some point in his life that he caused his parents to grieve. Okay? So you're saying, okay, prove it. Follow me if you will. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verses 41 through 52, you know this story. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Are you with me today? Yeah. Chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Okay, every year, it says his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, okay, that's like a year older than Colin, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus did what? Well, he stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were not aware of it. Okay? Thinking he was in their company. Their company would have been all their friends and family that probably went up together to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day without their 12-year-old boy. They began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem. There's another day. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, now listen to what she says. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. So mind you, their 12-year-old boy is lost in their eyes for 3 days. They don't know if they're ever going to see him again. Okay, can you imagine his mother? Do you think she was grieving at this point? You better believe she was. You better believe it. And what does Jesus say? Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? So simple. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus caused his parents some grief here. All right. Now, mind you, he is the young Son of God. Okay. Can you imagine losing your child for 3 days, not having any idea where they were. Now, and there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem. All right? It's like wall-to-wall people there. They're celebrating the Passover. Everybody comes from where they are into the city to celebrate. It's packed. Jerusalem is not very big. It's not all that big. It's not a whole lot of room. But hundreds of thousands of people are there. There's a 12-year-old boy, no parents, no family. Okay? Mama and daddy, yes. They were extremely worried. But his heavenly father knew where he was every second. Yeah? But his parents, his earthly parents, would have been worried sick, wouldn't you say? It would seem that Jesus would once again bring grief to his mother in Matthew chapter 12. Would you turn there with me? Now, verses 46 through 50 says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Mind you, there's a whole bunch of people sitting around. Jesus is teaching them. Here are my mother and my brothers, for whosoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my mother and sister and brother. Okay, so let's just play this out a little bit. Follow me if you will. Mary, Jesus' mama, and the family got dinner ready, okay? And everything's hot and ready to go, okay? And Jesus, mind you, it says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, all right? So it kind of alludes to the fact that it had gone on maybe a little bit longer than they anticipated. Okay, so he's teaching, he's doing all these things, and maybe it would seem natural and normal that everything was ready to eat. Okay, everything was hot, and Mary and the family maybe want, come on, let's go. We got stuff, we got to eat. Everything's hot, let's go. And they've worked so hard at preparing. It could have been that, couldn't it? All right, it could have been something else, but you can imagine that that could have happened. All right, and so they send somebody into Jesus, and they say, Jesus, your family's out here. They want to talk to you. They're waiting for you. And Jesus does this. He says, who is my mother? And he's talking to these people that are listening to him, that are intently focusing on him. Who is my mother, and who are my brothers? Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and so on. And so Jesus is making a point here to everyone, including his mama and his family. Okay? And so what the points that he is trying to make is sometimes there are things that are so important that family has to wait. There are things that are so important that dinner has to wait. Do you understand? You may have a dinner's hot and it's steaming, the butter's melting, everything's ready to go. God's working here. God's working here. Yeah, but the game's starting, Pastor. Come on, we got. Ah. DVR, good thing. Okay. There's things that are more important. Okay? And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that he must teach people to follow the will of his Father. That was his whole life. That was his whole purpose. That's why he was sent to teach people how to do that. Okay? And so can you imagine? I would just... Now, I'm assuming here, but Jesus being the loving and compassionate person that he was, not wanting to dishonor or hurt his mama in any way, Okay? Can you imagine? I would think that he would, maybe after he's done, maybe even call mom in or take mama aside and put his arm around her. He said, "Mom, did you understand what I meant when I said, who are my father, my mother and my brothers? And that anyone who does the will of my father, those are my sister, my brother, my mother. Did you understand what I have said?" "Yes, I understand." All right? Because I didn't say that to hurt you, Mom. You don't need to tell me that. I know. I just wanted people to understand that there is an importance. "Yes, I understand. Can we eat now?" No. Okay? But can you imagine that Jesus would rightly so go and maybe just have a quick minute with his mama, or maybe even call her in to those people as they're sitting around, because that's how they did it back then. They would all sit around, so they're facing in to the person that's teaching. Okay? And so I can imagine that Jesus may have even called her back into the assembly and maybe honored her in front of everyone as he had that conversation with her. Yeah? Okay? Now, listen, Mary would have been acquainted, in a sense, with this type of situation. Because ever since the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that she would be with child and that she would bear the Son of God as a young lady, a virgin, mind you, things had changed for her. This was not the normal baby. This was not the normal child that people had. This was the Son of God. Hence, him wanting to be in his father's house while the rest of his family was heading home. He stayed there 3 days by himself. I imagine that probably stung Mary a little bit, when she may have even felt a little bit embarrassed at Jesus' response. "Who are my family? Who's my family? You know, who's my brother and my mother? You know, who they're the ones that follow and obey the Father. That's my family." All right? And so I imagine that stung her a little bit, maybe brought her even a little bit of grief. Okay? Until Jesus made that right. Okay? Follow me, okay? Jesus, a third time, most definitely brought grief to his mother, though it be unintentionally, while he was hanging on the cross. Can you imagine the grief of his mother? John chapter 19, verse 25, shows us that Mary, his own mother, was there while he was being crucified. And while he was hanging on the cross, the thought occurred to me as I was preparing this and researching things, the thought occurred to me that Mary was witnessing the murder of her boy. Murder, okay? So let's see. She's witnessing the death, not only, think about this. So if this was today, you know, we see pictures. Devin's friend died the other day in a terrible, terrible car accident. I saw the pictures of it. I can't even get that through my head. I just keep thinking about the parents of this boy, this 21-year-old boy, young man, that his life has just ended, just like that. No chance to say goodbye, no chance to repair any strained relationships, no chance to say, "I'm sorry." It's gone. It's done. It's over. Or maybe, you know, God forbid somebody's hit by a car, or God forbid somebody is shot. Your child, I want you to think about that. Your child is hit by a car. Your child is shot in a drive-by shooting. Your child lost a battle with a disease. You watched it all from start to finish. That's Mary at the foot of the cross.